Hello, and welcome to Learning English Weekend, the Saturday edition. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz in Washington. Katie Weaver is off this week, but she'll be back next Saturday. It's March 5th, 2016. It was on this day in 1946, 70 years ago, in a speech at Westminster College in the Midwestern state of Missouri, that former British Prime Minister Winston Churchill first used the expression Iron Curtain.
From Stettin in the Baltic to Trieste in the Adriatic, an iron curtain has descended across the continent. Behind that line lie all the capitals of the ancient states of Central and Eastern Europe.
Now, here's what's ahead on today's program. Major League Soccer is the top professional league for soccer in the United States. Dan Friedel will be here to tell us about some of the league's top international players. Marcia James will tell us about the latest scientific discovery, the gene that causes gray hair. And we will tell a traditional American story called A Tall Tale. That's a story about a person who is larger than life. So, you can see, as always, we have a lot for you today. Every day of the year, we bring you news from and about America and the world. And every Saturday, we tell you an American story. We are a little different here at VOA Learning English. Because we exist to help you learn everyday American English, we speak a little slower than normal, and we use words that are easy to understand. Listen to the program, then practice saying the words and sentences the way we do. It's a free and easy way to improve your American English skills every day of the year. We're on the radio, on the web, and we come to you on a podcast. We are wherever you are. We're the voice of America. Major League Soccer is the top professional soccer league in the United States. In many other countries, the sport is called football. The Portland Timbers, a team from the western state of Oregon, won the MLS championship last year. The Timbers will start defending their championship on Sunday, the first day of the league's 2016 season. Dan Friedel tells us more now about the growing league.
MLS was launched with 10 teams in 1996. In 20 years, the league has doubled in size and expanded into Canada, with teams now in Toronto, Vancouver, and Montreal. David Beckham helped bring international attention to MLS 9 years ago when he agreed to play for the Los Angeles Galaxy. Beckham was a star player from England. He had also played in Spain with Real Madrid. Players around the world started seeing MLS as more than just a place to earn a lot of money at the end of their careers. Ireland's Robbie Keane also plays for the Galaxy. Before coming to the U.S., he played for Inter Milan in Italy and Tottenham Hotspur and Liverpool Football Club in England. Keane recently told Sky Sports that he knows of other European players who want to come to the United States. Players I've played with are calling me up now from England and Spain and are really, really desperate to come over here because they can see how much the league has grown. Brian Strauss writes about soccer for Sports Illustrated and the magazine's website, Planet Football. He says Keane is one of the best examples of foreign players who have left a mark on MLS.
Robbie Keane may be the best foreign signing in league history. He certainly has taken it seriously, certainly respected the league, and has delivered. The Galaxy have won 3 championships since he came over.
Some of the best MLS players come from countries like Sierra Leone, Ivory Coast, Brazil, Italy, Netherlands, England, Ireland, and Spain. In fact, the quality of play is strong enough that even young American players are being sought out by major teams overseas. That almost never happened before. Chelsea, a famous team from England, recruited Matt Miazga in the offseason. Miazga is a 20-year-old from New Jersey. He started his career with the New York Red Bulls. Chelsea spent about $5 million to get Miazga from the Red Bulls. Patrick Nyarko of Ghana plays for Washington's team, DC United. Nyarko attended college in the United States. He spent 8 seasons playing for the Chicago Fire before moving to DC. He says he is happy to be a part of a soccer league that is producing good players.
It's improving, it's growing. Probably faster than anyone would have thought. It's getting there slowly but surely. I think it's going to be one of the biggest sports in the United States. Word is spreading. Got people, top-class talent is coming into the league, and it's got eyes on it. And, you get these young guys that do well and then make it overseas.
Some of the famous players in MLS this year are David Villa of Spain, Andrea Pirlo of Italy, and Frank Lampard of England. They all play for the New York City Football Club. The Los Angeles Galaxy has Keane, Steven Gerrard of England, and Nigel de Jong of the Netherlands. De Jong left the Italian team, AC Milan, over the winter to play in the U.S. Didier Drogba of the Montreal Impact is from Ivory Coast. He had 104 goals when he played for Chelsea. Kai Kamara of Sierra Leone is one of the best goal scorers in MLS. He plays for the Columbus Crew. The Brazilian player Kaká plays for Orlando City. In the past, he played for Brazil's national soccer team and Real Madrid and AC Milan in Europe. Sebastian Giovinco of Italy was the MLS Most Valuable Player in 2015. He plays for Toronto FC in Canada. Patrick Nyarko says he grew up following all the important soccer leagues around the world. He considers himself a fan of the game and a soccer junkie. Sometimes he cannot believe he is playing in the same game with some of his favorite players of all time. When he was a first-year player with Chicago in 2008, he was starstruck to be on the same team with Cuauhtémoc Blanco, the famous Mexican player.
My 3 favorite soccer players of all time. It's, I have Thierry Henry, Ryan Giggs, and Steven Gerrard. I've had the opportunity to play against 2 of them, and I might have an opportunity to play against the third one and on Sunday. So I'm a fan, so I, even though I'm concentrated in the game, when it stops, sometimes I, you know, I catch myself thinking, oh, I am on the field with so-and-so, and it makes it pretty cool.
Sports writer Brian Strauss says the quality of play in MLS compares well with most of the world, but it is not yet at the level of play as places like Spain, England, France, Germany, Brazil, and Argentina.
Those leagues are well ahead of MLS, which is trying to find its way in a country where soccer has been considered a viable pro sport for only, you know, 20 to 30 years. People forget that in 1990, when the United States qualified for the World Cup, it had been 40 years since the U.S. played in the sport's biggest tournament. So soccer here is still only a generation or so old, and considering that, MLS has made remarkable strides.
I'm Dan Friedel.
Researchers say they have found a gene that causes gray hair. Marcia James reports.
The gene, called IRF4, was found and studied from the DNA of more than 6,300 people from 5 Latin American countries. IRF4 regulates melanin, which is responsible for the color of hair, skin, and eyes. Genetic information was used from men and women in Brazil, Colombia, Chile, Mexico, and Peru. Combinations of European, Native American, and African ancestries were added into the study. The research was done by scientists from the University College London. The study and conclusions were published in the journal Nature Communications. The researcher said that hair turning gray does not happen only by genetics. Stress or a traumatic event also contribute to gray hair. A special version of IRF4 turns hair gray regardless of other factors, according to Andre Ruiz Linares, a scientist who took part in the study. The researcher said this study could lead to treatments that could prevent or reverse hair turning gray. The study also identified genes to other hair traits. These traits included curly hair and beard and eyebrow thickness. I'm Marcia James.
Thanks, Marcia. Now, as we do every Saturday, we present An American Story.
Today we tell a traditional American story called A Tall Tale. A tall tale is a story about a person who is larger than life. The descriptions in the story are exaggerated, much greater than in real life. Long ago, the people who settled in undeveloped areas in America first told tall tales. After a hard day's work, people gathered to tell each other funny stories. Pecos Bill was a larger-than-life hero of the American West. No one knows who first told stories about Pecos Bill. Cowboys may have invented the stories. Others say Edward O'Reilly invented the character in stories he wrote for The Century magazine in the early 1900s. The stories were collected in a book called The Saga of Pecos Bill, published in 1923. Another writer, James Cloyd Bowman wrote an award-winning children's book called Pecos Bill, The Greatest Cowboy of All Time. The book won the Newbery Honor in 1938. Pecos Bill was not a historical person, but he does represent the spirit of early settlers in the American West. His unusual childhood and extraordinary actions tell about people who believed there were no limits to what they could do. Now, here is Barbara Klein with our story.
Pecos Bill had one of the strangest childhoods a boy ever had. It all started after his father decided that there was no longer enough room in East Texas for his family.
"Pack up, Ma," he cried. "Neighbors moving in 50 miles away. It's getting too crowded."
So they loaded up a wagon with all their things. Now some say they had 15 children, while others say 18. However many there were, the children were louder than thunder. And as they set off across the wild country of West Texas, their mother and father could hardly hear a thing. Now, as they came to the Pecos River, the wagon hit a big rock. The force threw little Bill out of the wagon, and he landed on the sandy ground. Mother did not know Bill was gone until she gathered the children for the midday meal. Mother set off with some of the children to look for Bill, but they could find no sign of him. Well, some people say Bill was just a baby when his family lost him. Others say he was 4 years old. But all agree that a group of animals called coyotes found Bill and raised him. Bill did all the things those animals did, like chase lizards and howl at the moon. He became as good a coyote as any. Now, Bill spent 17 years living like a coyote until one day a cowboy rode by on his horse. Some say the cowboy was one of Bill's brothers. Whoever he was, he took one look at Bill and asked, "What are you?" Bill was not used to human language. At first, he could not say anything. The cowboy repeated his question. This time, Bill said, "Varmint." That is a word used for any kind of wild animal.
"No, you aren't," said the cowboy.
"Yes, I am," said Bill. "I have fleas."
"Lots of people have fleas," said the cowboy. "You don't have a tail."
"Yes, I do," said Bill.
"Show it to me then," the cowboy said.
Bill looked at his backside and realized that he did not have a tail like the other coyotes.
"Well, what am I then?" asked Bill.
"You're a cowboy, so start acting like one," the cowboy cried out.
Well, that was all Bill needed to hear. He said goodbye to his coyote friends and left to join the world of humans. Now, Pecos Bill was a good cowboy. Still, he hungered for adventure. One day, he heard about a rough group of men. There is some debate over what the group was called, but one storyteller calls it the Hell's Gate Gang. So Bill set out across the rough country to find this gang of men. Well, Bill's horse soon was injured, so Bill had to carry it for 100 miles. Then Bill met a rattlesnake 50 feet long. The snake made a hissing noise and was not about to let Bill pass. But after a tense minute, Bill beat the snake until it surrendered. He felt sorry for the varmint, though, and wrapped it around his arm. After Bill walked another 100 miles, he came across an angry mountain lion. There was a huge battle, but Bill took control of the big cat and put his saddle on it. He rode that mountain lion all the way to the camp of the Hell's Gate Gang. Now, when Bill saw the gang, he shouted out, "Who's the boss around here?" A huge cowboy, 9 feet tall, took one look at Bill and said in a shaky voice,
"I was the boss, but you are the boss from here on in."
With his gang, Pecos Bill was able to create the biggest ranch in the Southwest. Bill and his men had so many cattle that they needed all of New Mexico to hold them. Arizona was the pasture where the cattle ate grass. Pecos Bill invented the art of being a cowboy. He invented the skill of throwing a special rope called a lasso over a cow's head to catch wandering cattle. Some say he used a rattlesnake for a lasso. Others say he made a lasso so big that it circled the whole earth. Bill invented the method of using a hot branding iron to permanently put the mark of a ranch on a cow's skin. That helped stop people from stealing cattle. Some say he invented cowboy songs to help calm the cattle and make the cowboy's life easier. But he is also said to have invented tarantulas and scorpions as jokes. Cowboys have had trouble with those poisonous creatures ever since. Now, Pecos Bill could ride anything that ever was. So, as some tell the story, there came a storm bigger than any other. It all happened during the worst drought the West had ever seen. It was so dry that horses and cows started to dry up and blow away in the wind. So when Bill saw the windstorm, he got an idea. The huge tornado kicked across the land like a wild bronco. But Bill jumped on it without a thought. He rode that tornado across Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona, all the time squeezing the rain out of it to save the land from drought. When the storm was over, Bill fell off the tornado. He landed in California. He left a hole so deep that to this day it is known as Death Valley. Now, Bill had a horse named Widowmaker. He got that name because any man who rode that horse would be thrown off and killed, and his wife would become a widow. No one could ride that horse but Bill. And Widowmaker, in the end, caused the biggest problem for Pecos Bill. You see, one day, Bill saw a woman. Not just any woman, but a wild, red-haired woman, riding a giant catfish down the Rio Grande River. Her name was Slewfoot Sue, and Bill fell in love with her at first sight. Well, Bill would not rest until he had asked for her hand in marriage, and Slewfoot Sue accepted. On their wedding day, Pecos Bill dressed in his best buckskin suit, and Sue wore a beautiful white dress with a huge steel spring bustle in the back. It was the kind of big dress that many women wore in those days, the bigger the better. Now, after the marriage ceremony, Slewfoot Sue got a really bad idea. She decided that she wanted to ride Widowmaker. Bill begged her not to try, but she had her mind made up. Well, the second she jumped on the horse's back, he began to kick and buck like nothing anyone had ever seen. He sent Sue flying so high that she sailed clear over the new moon. She fell back to earth, but the steel spring bustle just bounced her back up as high as before. Now, there are many different stories about what happened next. One story says Bill saw that Sue was in trouble. She would keep bouncing forever if nothing was done. So he took his rope out, though some say it was a huge rattlesnake, and lassoed Sue to catch her and bring her down to earth. Only she just bounced him back up with her. Somehow the two came to rest on the moon, and that's where they stayed. Some people say they raised a family up there. Their children were as loud and wild as Bill and Sue were in their younger days. People say the sound of thunder that sometimes carries over the dry land around the Pecos River is nothing more than Pecos Bill's family laughing up a storm.
Was quite a cowboy down in Texas.
This tall tale of Pecos Bill was adapted for Special English and produced by Mario Ritter. Your storyteller was Barbara Klein. I'm Steve Ember.
Yippee-i-o, for the toughest critter west of the Alamo.
Once there was a drought that spread all over Texas, so to sunny California he did go. And though the gag is kind of corny, he brought rain to California. That's the way we got to go for Mexico.
So yippee-i-yay-i-yay, yippee-i-yo, for the toughest critter west of the Alamo.
Our thanks to Steve Ember and Barbara Klein, who presented today's American story. That's our program today. We hope it has informed you and has helped you learn everyday American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz, reporting from Washington. I'll be back tomorrow at this same time with Learning English Weekend, the Sunday edition, as we help you learn everyday American English with another broadcast, webcast, and podcast from The Voice of America.